بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. دیوبندی اسکول فالوز حضرت شاہ ولی اللہ صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ. اینڈ بیفور حضرت شاہ ولی اللہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، دا ون دیٹ واز لیڈنگ دس ہول کیروین، لیڈنگ اٹ اینڈ ڈرائیونگ اٹ، واز محدث عبد الحق دہلوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. Then before Hazrat Muhaddis Abdul Haq Rahmatullah Alayh, then the ones that were leading the same caravan was Sheikh Ali Muttaqi Burhan Puri, right, leading this. He must have been around the 9th century. And then his two students, one was Sheikh Abdul Wahhab and the other was Muhammad Tahir Patni. So at any given time there was someone that was driving this entire caravan. And it is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will take care. So it is your honor and it is a blessing that Allah Ta'ala uses you. So when it is a honor to you that Allah Ta'ala has used you, then your whole behavior must be that you are beseeching the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala's mercy, you are begging His help that you must be blessed. Like how Allah Ta'ala blessed others, He must bless you. But if He turns around and you have that attitude that I am doing so and so, and if it wasn't for me, then this would have happened, then Allah Ta'ala can very easily replace you. إِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Nobody is indispensable. Here, you can be dispensed. But عادةً, then from what we see, Allah Pak knows best. What we see and what we understand, then if you want to remain in that grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then you need to have that feeling of desperation, istirar. Amma yujibul muttar. A feeling of desperation, Allah Ta'ala, I need you desperately, I need your grace. I'm grateful and I need your grace all the time. So gratitude will bring the grace of Allah Ta'ala with desperation. At any given time, the feeling of desperation and showing gratitude, this ensures the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon an individual. At the moment you move away from this, not showing the gratitude, or you're not showing desperation, then you are in a very, very dangerous spot. So this grace of Allah ta'ala, you begin to understand, or this grace of Allah ta'ala, and the special fazl of Allah ta'ala, you understand when you reflect and think a little bit. Now, what happens generally with people, an ibadat becomes like an adat. You just go through the motions. Dua namaz, 4 rakats, read and go. Maghrib namaz, 3 rakats, move and go. So it just becomes a motion. I don't say that this is useless. It is better than nothing, right? But to remain stationary, to remain stranded there, that also is incorrect. You need to take the time out to reflect, alright? Who am I? What I was? And what I would have been had it not been the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What would have been my plight? After all, I'm an ordinary human being, right? And Allah ta'ala wasn't forced to create me in a Muslim family. He would have created me in a non-Muslim family. I could have been a non-Muslim ringing a bell in a temple, bringing out the urine and taking the dung as a blessing. I could have been doing all these things here. Very funny things that are unimaginable. I would have been doing these things here. But Allah Ta'ala purified me from all this dirt and filth, brought me into the purity of Islam. It is just His mercy. And if you extend this analogy one step further, then you understand, all right, as a human being, Allah Ta'ala has blessed me in this manner. But as a creation, also Allah Ta'ala has blessed me. If Allah Ta'ala wanted, He would have made me an ant, a snake, a scorpion, right? A filthy worm that eats filth all around, cockroach, something. He would have made me a fly that sits on feces and all that, right? So nothing was stopping Allah Ta'ala from making me what He made me, right? Nothing was stopping Allah Ta'ala from making one of these despised creations. Kunu qiradatan khasi'in. He would have made me. I would have been despised, looked down upon, filth. But Allah Ta'ala, in His mercy, in His compassion, in His love, He pulled me out from the worst of creation to the best of creation. Who was stopping Allah Ta'ala? If he had wanted to make you a swine, who can stop Allah Ta'ala? Eating swine, eating filth all the time, getting up in the morning, looking out for dirt and filth. So Allah Ta'ala wanted, He could have reduced you to that. But He pulled you out from Sharul Bariyah to Khairul Bariyah. And then in the Khairul Bariyah, the Khairu Khairul Bariyah. One is insan is the Khairul Bariyah. And then to be in the Ummat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then is the Khair of the Khairul Bariyah. The best of the best. So not just the best, but the best of the best. So the more an individual ponders about these things, yeah, he realizes, I'm too much in the red. I'm not at all in the green. Too much in the red. Too much. So much. What I am, what I deserve, and what I really have enjoyed, really, is not adding up. I did so much, and I'm earning so much. I did so much, and I'm getting so much. So really, it's not adding up. So your heart will burst out with shukr. Flow out with shukr, gratitude. Thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking, and not only thinking, but being convinced about your nothingness. Nothingness, weakness, absolute non-entity. You will be more and more convinced of yourself being a non-entity. But this happens with reflection, a little bit of thought, understanding, reasoning. You see yourself. Then you are khairul bariya, then again reflect further, just keep thinking, right? Because you are the child of Adam alayhi salam, you are Bani Adam, right? Allah Ta'ala willed, He could have made you live in a shack. There are Muslims also living in shacks, right? No proper roof over their heads. Allah Ta'ala willed that for them. Had Allah Ta'ala willed, He could have placed you there with Iman, but you could have been living like that in the doldrums. Nobody was stopping Allah Ta'ala. Who was stopping Allah Ta'ala from doing it? Nobody was stopping Allah Ta'ala. La mani ali ma atait, wala mu'ti ali ma manat. Nothing was stopping Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala, just by His grace, just by His fazl, I won't let him live here. I'll let him live with respect. Then, with all that, then Allah gives you a beautiful home. He gives you an obedient wife. All your needs are seen through. From the night, the breakfast preparation is already carrying on. And from about 8 o'clock, the lunch preparations are carrying on. Who is making your wife think like that? You know that husband is going to come around all the time, and I need to prepare a hearty, nice meal, present it to him. Who's doing it? So it's Allah Ta'ala that's doing it. We are fasting here, and then there's so many people worried about our iftar, what can we eat for iftar, the savory, that type of food, and how must I prepare it? It must be attractive, it must be juicy, it must be savory, it must be enjoyable, how must I do it? But who is the planner? Who is the planner? Who is the doer? It's Allah Ta'ala that's a doer. Did we ever think like that? Did we ever show that type of gratitude? That is why our hearts need to be bursting with gratitude. I don't deserve this. Really, I don't deserve this. It is only your grace. It is not, from my side, it's nothing, absolutely nothing. Meri taraf se to khatai khata, aur teri taraf se atai hata. I am just full, whole embodiment of filth and dirt and wrong. And you are just grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy, compassion upon compassion. And then, in this grace, we aren't an asset to Allah Ta'ala. Someone is an asset to you. So we're not an asset. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِي. You're doing it, doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for someone else. You're not benefiting Allah Ta'ala in any way. It's to your own benefit, to your own credit. So you see how you need to use your mind. Then again, see, the process of creation has been repeated in the Quran Sharif at least about 6 times. خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِن عَلَقَةٍ. So about 5 times the whole process of human creation has been explained in the Quran Sharif. Why? خَلَقَكُمْ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيُّتَرْكَ سُدَى أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِن مَنِيٍّ يُمْنَى ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. So many times this is repeated. If it was just a scientific fact that the Quran Sharif was explaining, then to mention it once was sufficient. But Allah is repeating it once here in Surah لَا أُقْسِمُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and sometimes in Surah Nur, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ مُضْغَةٍ. So why is Allah repeating this? Do we ask ourselves? So that is why I say that after a time the ibadat becomes like a routine, becomes an habitual thing. So there is no thought that's put into it. There's no fikr that's put to it, there's no thought. So when there's no thought, then there's no life in it. So the thing that brings about the life is the thought. Think about it, meditate, reflect. See, like we have a small discourse, a small session now. Then after that you go into your cubicle, you go into your own privacy. In your privacy now you're thinking about what you have been learning. That's why Ibn Atta Iskandari Rahmatullahi says, he says, man in himself is darkness, right? Man in himself is darkness. The light that he brings into himself is through ponderance and reflection. That's light. Otherwise you didn't think, you didn't reflect, you didn't understand, you didn't analyze, then what are you? You're in total darkness. So you bring about the light according to or in proportion to the reflection, thought, analysis, understanding, reasoning. That is why Allah Pak says, فَأَتَبِيرُ. Take a lesson. What is the meaning? What do you mean by take a lesson? You take a lesson when you see something, right? Alright. I see that this people were blessed by Allah Ta'ala, right? Then, and this blessing had continued for some time. So what were the reasons for them being blessed? Hajjaj bin Yusuf, everybody knows about his oppression and zulm, right? So there was a gathering where people were talking against him. So one saintly person was around. So he says to them, remember, Allah Ta'ala doesn't have any personal grudge and vendetta against anybody. Like you are his servant, Hajjaj is also his servant. Being a servant, both of you all are identical. Hajjaj, if he wronged people, he'll be punished, right? For the wrongs, right? But if you wronged him, in other words, if he did 2 wrongs, and you then slandered him for the 3rd wrong, right? He did wrong, right? The wrong was to the 2nd level. But you slandered him for more than what he had did. Then he's done so much of wrong, and you slandered him and abused him for more wrong than he was guilty of. Then like Allah Ta'ala will punish and call Hajjaj to account for the wrong that he has done, he'll call you also to account for encroaching on his rights. Doesn't mean he's done some wrong that you can take advantage of him. It's to the extent of the wrong, yes, you can correct him, you can reprimand him, you can shout him, you can talk about him, right? Not beyond that. If you did anything beyond that, then like he will be answerable, then you will also be answerable for what you have done. Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that in my student days, one day I was thinking, you know, how nice to learn how to capture some jinnat, you know. and have a jinnat under your control. I need to get something across. In a second, I'll just do it like this, you know. Jinnat power, I'll just do it. Get something from that side, I'll just get it from there. I'll get the jinnat under my control, and I'll get things done. You know, man's mind, very strange. Sometimes you think of the best of things. Before Allah Ta'ala, and you think jannat. Sometimes you just, tears are just streaming and just rolling down, right? Gunegaru, Allah, your love, your muhabbat. And the next moment you're going to be thinking about the worst of things. Doesn't it happen? So, aapke zehn ka karishma hai. It's a miracle of your brain, how it carries on, how it works. How it works from where sometimes, where you are, and where it takes you. Sometimes it just takes you right to the heaven, and sometimes it drops you right below the earth. So hard it drops you down. So, insan ko sochna chahiye, man must think now what he is. The essence of his being, what he is. Right? The more you think, the more you reflect, you begin to understand now, alright, this is what I am. I can't escape this. If I'm escaping this, you know, it's like the little child, right? You know, the little small child, if he sees something that is frightening, right? So he takes the blanket and covers his head. Thinking himself now, I've guarded myself against this fright, against this fear, right? But you haven't guarded yourself, that is going to come. Whatever is there is going to come, right? But you're covering yourself. So you're covering your eyes or your brains from the reality. You haven't escaped the reality. That is why Allah Ta'ala speaks about the kuffar. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ إِظَامَ بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُصَوِّيَ بَنَانَ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the kuffar. What he says? Because insan, يريد الإنسان أن يفجر أمامه. What he wants? He wants a passage to wrong. He wants a free passage to wrong. No restriction. Whatever one should do, gay, bisexual, transsexual, lesbian, whatever he wants to do, he must do. يريد الإنسان أن يفجر أمامه. He wants an open license to do what he wants. No restriction, no prohibition, nothing. Once one fatwa, one istifta came from Ustaz Rahmatullahi. One poet wrote a line, Khuda kare ke wo din aaye jisme khuda na ho. Khuda kare ke wo din aaye jisme khuda na ho. So now the question came from Ustaz Rahmatullahi, okay, now is this kufr that I get such a day with, may Allah Ta'ala make it that there's such a day where there is no God. Dangerous statement, isn't it? Dangerous statement. So Musa says, no. This is poetic language, right? And poetic language, then certain things are understood, right? In poetic language, some things are understood. I would say, mahzoof, muqaddar. Don't you say that? Koi cheez yahan par muqaddar, mahzoof hai. Don't you say that? So here, what is mahzoof, muqaddar? Khuda kare, ke wo din aaye, jisme Khuda ka hukam jo mani ho raha hai, wo na rahe. In other words, may Allah Ta'ala bring about the day that law of Allah Ta'ala that is prohibiting me from that haram doesn't remain. The law of prohibition doesn't remain. In other words, that beloved of mine, I make nikah to her, so will that prohibition remain now? Ji? No prohibition. So, this thought, see this thought process, it's so important. We don't realize how important this thinking is. Really, we underestimate. A simple example to illustrate thought process, right? See a person working in the fields, right? Working in your yard, right? Casual laborer, you pay him 100 rands, he's too excited, 100 rands for the day I got, I work from 7 o'clock in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, I got my 100 rand. He's jumping with joy. What a meal, what is 100 rand, and he's going, he's off. But so hard he worked in the sun, sweltering heat, he sweated, physical labor he did. He got the 100 rand, he's too grateful and he's going away. Right? In the meanwhile, you find a specialist, right? Architect, engineer, or any other specialist, right? And he was consulted just for 1 hour. 1 hour he's consulted, right? Or say, for example, an advocate, and you consulted him just for 1 hour, right? For that 1 hour consultation, he can charge you 20,000. Do you know that? One hour. This person that is doing this physical casual labor, perhaps he won't see that amount in a year. Just do the maths. It's 100 rand a day, right? So in a month, it's about 3,000 rand, isn't it? 3,000 rand times 12, how much? 26. So perhaps he'll just see this amount in the year. And this person is earning the same amount in one hour. If it's a senior counsel, 20,000 is minimum, right? Sometimes you can go up to 30,000 1 hour. Senior counsel is above an advocate, so you consulting him, right? So just for that 1 hour. So what he's earning in an hour, this person doesn't earn in the entire year. You see that? So now what's the difference? Why this person is eligible to 30,000 and this person is eligible to just 100? Why? This was physical, this was mental. See, mind is rewarded proportionately to itself, and physical self is rewarded proportionately, right? So the physical self proportion to the physical, mental, intellectual according to the intellectual, and mental itself. So this according to this, and this according to this. So this is that faculty that we don't use. There was an interesting survey, made a survey that what proportion of the mind people use, which countries and how much do they use, right? So they say the Japanese use about most of their mind, right? They use approximately 40%, 35-40% Japanese use, right? Americans, about the lowest, 15%. Right. So because I understand now why they said that American is 15%, is because it's a TV nation, right? This drama entertainment. So you're not using your brain, you're using your own individual personal brain. What you see is imitating and carrying on. So that now entertainment, it appealed to your mind, you copy that and you carry it on. Copy and paste, right? So you didn't get anything out of it. You didn't use yourself. So the reward is for you using your mind. Use it. Now, then when you use it for the right reasons, for the best reasons, then you'll get the best rewards. Use it for the dunya, you got a reward, right? You got a remuneration. You did it for the material gain. But if you did it for the best cause, the highest cause, then the reward will be then beyond your imagination. One person was seated between a Qabristan and a dump. You'll find in some of the eastern countries up to now that say about 1 kilometer or 2 kilometers out of the town would be the dump, right? So all the dirt and all that, they dump it there. Like most of the eastern countries, you have slaughterings going every day. Because everybody doesn't have the comfort of a freezer. So when they don't afford the comfort of a freezer, so they have to do slaughterings every day, right? Every day. Now the waste of it, the entrails, the waste of it, then they go and dump it far away from the town so that the town may not be polluted, right? Far away from the town. So on the one side is all this dirt, filth and all that. A lot of filth now. Some is used furniture, right? And sometimes it is used clothing, all dumped on side. Sometimes it is human filth, human filth, all dumped there. Human filth, the used furniture, the entrails, everything is dumped on one side, right? And on the other side is a Qabristan. So one side is a dump, and the other end is a Qabristan. So one pious person has to pass there, and he says, what a beautiful spot to be seated at. On the one end you're seeing man and humanity, right? You see him in his present stage, right? And on the other end, you are seeing the end of man, the end of his clothing, right? The end of his furniture, the end of all his luxuries, all the food, the luxuries, the comforts that he ate, the end of that. So you're seeing man on the one, seeing the end of man, and you're seeing the end of his comfort, his enjoyment. So now to sit like this and contemplate, really, really, it will bring you to some, it will give you some direction in life. So our musibat, our problem is that we don't sit and think. No, I got it. It's for keeps. It will remain with me. I will enjoy. There's no such a thing like qiyamah. So that is from shaitan. See, I will remain strong forever. I will enjoy these things here, these luxuries. No such a thing like qiyamah. So why must I worry about all that? Why must I put my mind into that? See how shaitan misleads you. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّمْ نَجْمَعْ عِظَامًا. So he does this. Why? He wants a license. He wants a ticket towards freedom. Therefore he says, therefore Allah says, يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيَّفْجُرَ إِمَا أَمَامًا. Why? He wants a ticket to freedom. Nothing must restrict me. Nothing must hold me back. I must have all the pleasure, all the things that I wish for. So, because يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيَّفْجُرَ أَمَامًا, يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّمْ نَجْمَعَ عِظَامًا. So, why did he think that Allah Ta'ala will never reconstruct him? Why? Because he wants to appease himself that there is no new life. There is no new life. Right? So, if he will keep frightening himself of another life, then that will become an impediment on the road of comfort, on the road of luxury. It's going to be an impediment. Imagine now, just to imagine this, to understand this concept, imagine a person has got a jet, right? A jet is full house. Everything that you can think of, the furniture, the fittings, the comfort, the latest of the jets, right? Latest, absolutely beautiful, and the most beautiful of waitresses, right? They are there to serve you. All the type of foods, anything you can think of is there. On all the menus, what you can think of, what you can't think of, everything is there, right? So you got the best, anything you can think of. You got the passport with visas to any part of the world at any time. But all this is only for 1 year. And after 1 year, you're going to be then dispatched to the worst type of punishment. You're going to be in tortures, right? What was that place all the Taliban had to be in prison? What was that place they called? Guantanamo Bay, right? So it was 1 year of happiness, and thereafter you dispatch to Guantanamo Bay, iron bars, giving a little bit of roti, a little bit of tea, just for you to live and pull on, right? I ask you, with all this comfort that you've got, if you are convinced that you're going to be living there, if you're certain, absolutely, I ask you, will you enjoy any of this thing? If you are absolutely certain that you're going to go there, right, you're 100% sure, can you enjoy it? You can only enjoy this if you don't believe in that. If you don't believe in that, then you can enjoy this. But if you believe in this, then you can't enjoy. Hey, I'm enjoying all this. But now, after 1 year, the game is up. Guantanamo Bay. Guntara means you're gone. Gone. Khalas. No point of return. So I ask you, can you enjoy? Can you be happy? So that kafir, yuridul insanu ayyafjura imama. He wants a ticket to freedom. So therefore he had to smash down the concept of qiyamat. Allah Ta'ala cannot reassemble me. You can't reconstruct me. You can't reassemble me. He had to do that. And Allah makes it such that science will prove everything of Qiyamah, the possibility of Qiyamah. Now see, what they say, the DNA and all that, right? And they just got a single specimen like a hair. And they, with that one specimen, they can develop a full human being or a full a full animal, like say the sheep now, right? They got one specimen. So they got the DNA of the thing, description of the thing. So they can't redevelop the thing. So if man can do this thing here, Allah Ta'ala, can't he reassemble it? You got a specimen of a hair, of a creation, right? And you can design the whole creation from that. So if man can do it, can't Allah Ta'ala do it? So Allah Ta'ala, through his own convictions, man's conviction, is disproving a man. See, you say that there's no thing of, no such thing as Qiyamah. How can Allah Ta'ala reassemble? So see that with one single strand of hair, you got the DNA specifications, and you can reconstruct. So why can't I do it? So you see where we're going wrong. So that the tasawwur, that reasoning of Qiyamah, death, is a life beyond, it come to an end, old age will come, I'll be all weak, worn out, dying, left alone, isolated, everybody, all my near and dear, everybody's gone, I'm left alone. So those moments, nobody's thinking of those moments. Hazrat Rahmatullah gave one story, you know. He says, in the past what used to happen, even the kings and leaders, they used to come and meet the awliya kiram, take advice, take the duas. One king used to meet on Buzurg. So anyway, went to visit him. So he saw that Buzurg was copying one type of a tablet, you know. He took one tablet. So he saw that Buzurg wasn't watching, so quietly he took the tablet. Another tablet was there, on same type of tablet, whatever herb, whatever he was using. So he took that thing and he popped that thing in the quiet, he took it. Now when he took that thing in the quiet, he became so vitalized, strong, strength and stamina, finished with his four wives, then all his slave women, he's still revving, adrenaline is not ending up. You know, he's full gear, bursting with power. So now when he saw himself bursting with power, in spite of using himself so much, he said, yeah, buzur kya karta hoga? What are you doing in the quiet here? He's sitting in that khanka there all alone. What he's doing? Yeah, I can understand what these people are doing. What they're up to. What the mischief they're up to, you see. See, a badgumani, yeah? You don't verify. You know, bila istikraya taam ke, da'wai kulliya karna, jaiz nahi, uska aitibar nahi. You just saw one side of the story, and you took a decision, passed a decision. You didn't see the whole thing. Musa refers to, you know, impress this upon us. Bila istikraya taam ke, da'wai kulli karna, ye durust nahi hai. But the Shaykh Rahmatullah, once more Abraz Sahib Rahmatullah came there. What is Buzurganadin? In the month of Ramadan, they used to come to the Shaykh first. Rahmatullah spent some days in Atikaf, and then they'd go. Be more Inamul Hasan Sahib, more Abraz Sahib, and then Bimala Siddiq Sahib, Banvi Rahmatullah, all of them would spend some time. Then after that, many of them kept that with Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah. When he used to be around, someone would come and spend 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, whatever, would spend time. Mawa Abrar Sahib, Mawa Siddiq Sahib, all of them spend time. So Mawa Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah had come to Saharanpur. So he wanted to know from Shaykh, why is there no hair here, you know, below the lower lip, right? Why is there no hair here? They call anfaqa, right? So Brasa was known for nahiya and munkar. Anyway, munkar, he will just correct it. And you need ulama, buzuganadin, different ways and approaches. People are lacking in one thing, so he'll correct them. So now, he used to be very particular about the sunnahs. If there's anything that's wrong, correct it, rectify it, straight away bring it to the person's attention. Now, Shaykh is his ustad, or the Shaykh al-Hadith is his ustad. Mufsab is also his ustad. So anyway, he wanted to know from Shaykh, why is there no hair? In other words, implying that why is this being removed? So, our Kabir, they were very calm in these things. They said, hey, who are you now to become personal and all? You know, you're making bad gumani, haram. They weren't like that. So they were broad shoulders, big-hearted people, broad shoulders. Very simple, straightforward, simple, easy to get along. So the Shaykh was saying, no, yeah, bahut achhi baat hai, aapne achhi baat yaad dilai. Albatta, zara aise karo ki apne ungli ko yahan dalo. Talk about a nice thing, but just feel this. Mera to baal yahan par upta hi nahi. That hair doesn't grow here at all. Urdu mein isko kehte hain reesh bachcha. It doesn't grow at all. So anyway, that session ended. So he had to see Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, because Mufti Sahib is also his ustad. So Mufti Sahib asked him, Ma'adar Sahib, now all these are all buzrugs, right? Great, great buzrugs of the time, right? But everything, hey, ikhtilaf, how they can talk like that? But it's a masla, and how easily they are talking. They are discussing, right? They are talking about freely. Nobody is ridiculing, nobody is humiliating, nobody is disgracing. What is matlub here, what is required, is tahqiq haq, to find out what's right, right? So it's not a matter of disgracing, humiliating. Right? But they're doing it so easily, casually, in a friendly environment, right? No humiliation and disgrace, right? Imam Shafi rahmatullahi is discussing some masla with another alim, right? And they can't arrive to consensus. He's saying something, he's saying. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi held his hand and says to him, can't we still remain friends? Can't we have muhabbat for each other? In spite of us not being able to arrive to consensus in even in one issue. One issue also we can't agree, but that is now an issue. Right? But as far as the muhabbat, or muhabbat must be untainted. See, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi, you don't just call him Imam like that. Imam is a very comprehensive person. So he understands, alright, this person has got some reasoning. I've got some reasoning. Right? He feels that his reasoning is right. I feel my reasoning is right. So, he will stand according to, he will practice according to what he feels is right. I will do what I think is right. So, both have got the Quran, both of them are ulama, but they will not compromise the muhabbat because of this difference. Now, can we do this? Have a difference, but not allow the muhabbat to be affected and compromised in any way. Can we do this? We can't do it. Who said we can't do it? Try. Why give up? Must we give up? Try. They did it, they want it, right? Must try. Have a difference of opinion if there is a need. Not unnecessary, not to strike points. If there is a need, right, then we differed. But we did not allow the muhabbat to be affected in any way. Right? You like coffee, right? I like tea. I say tea is better, you say coffee is better. Alright, you enjoy your coffee, I enjoy tea, but our friendship is still the same. You like Mari biscuit, and I like tennis biscuit, right? So you enjoy the tennis, I enjoy the Mari. Is there any reason for ikhtilaf? You enjoy what you enjoy, I enjoy what I prefer, what I prefer. So no, you must eat Mari. So no, you must eat tennis. Tab to jhagde ki baat ho jayegi. Now it'll be a fight, right? It's a taste difference. Your taste is different, my taste is different. Your reasoning is different, my reasoning is different. Right? So Musab, he came to speak to Musab thereafter. So Musab told him, itni tashaddud kyun karte ho? He's asking his student, Mu'adhar Haqsab. He's great buzurg, very great buzurg, the whole world, right? So Musab is asking his student, itni tashaddud kyun karte ho? Why are you so hard? So Mu'adhar Sahib said, lekin ye to durust nahi hai. This is not right. To shave what to say is not right. I understand the Shaykh doesn't have the hair, so he is not under the ambit of our question. But to remove this is not right. So Musab told him, bila istiqra'i tam ke da'wai kulli karna durust nahi hai. Without you seeing the whole thing, you know, see the masta complete, absolutely complete. And then you haven't seen it completely, you haven't covered, your mutala hasn't covered everything, then you make a dawa, you make a claim, right? Because you haven't seen everything. You know, you make a claim, then this is right. I went to the class, I just heard that, for example, the fifth year boys haven't come to class, right? I just heard a rumor. So I say, yeah, these fifth year boys, they're all up to nonsense, you know. They're not punctual. So it will be told to me by Bila Istikrayatam. You won't see yourself properly. Now I went through the class, I saw, hey, it's about 20 boys there, but only 5 boys aren't there. Now, isn't that embarrassing? So without you seeing it from A to Z, complete, to make a claim like this, a general claim, to generalize, you know, you say you're generalizing. It's not right. You can generalize after you've studied the whole thing, complete. You've completely seen the thing, then you generalize. But you haven't seen it complete, and then you make a general statement, is that right? So, this king is now thinking to himself, this Mashaikh, this Buzurgan Adin, they're sitting in solitude. This is what they're up to. Kuch sharaat karte hai, masti karte hai, what are they doing? Tanhai mein baith karke kya maza urate hai? What are they doing? But anyway, now you couldn't tell the Buzurg because of his someone's position now. So you can't just tell him on the face now. What you're saying is all nonsense. You can't tell him. That is today's style. If you want to say anybody, anything, you just say it. Let's just let drive. That's today's style. But pehle logon ke andar sharam haya tha. People, there was shame, there was modesty, respect. So even if a person, you had a difference of opinion, then you will not just tell him openly. Nicely, respectfully, you will tell him. This is a mistake, this is how you correct yourself. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say, رَجُلٌ لَهُ إِلْمُ السُّنَّةِ أَيَقُولُ بِهِ. He said, man has got the knowledge, right? Can he teach it? Can he impart it? He said, yes. أَيُجَادِلُ عَنْهَا. But must he fight on behalf of his ilm? You know, he thinks this is right. Can he fight? No. يَقُولُ بِهِ. He must talk about it. If they listen to him, very good. Otherwise, leave it out. Because then he says after that, الْجِدَالُ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَذْهَبُ بِنُورِ الْقَلْبِ. You know, fight and all these things. What's going to happen? Dispute, fight, debate and all that. And that destroys the nur of the heart. Now you can't see, you can't reason now. No longer can you understand things in perspective. Why? Allah Ta'ala destroyed and eliminated the light. You got the light of the eye, you can see. The light of the eye is gone. Can you see? Now can you see? You can't see. You will think that it is because of your ingenuity and intelligence that you can see Masail correctly. Not like that. It is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So that grace of Allah Ta'ala, that light you need to be able to see. But if you want to be engaging in debates, munazara, discussion like this, then you will destroy that light. You will destroy that light. Once you destroy the light, now can you see? Can't see. The eyes are there, but lahum qulubul la yafqahuna biha, wa lahum ayun la yubsiruna biha. What eyes? But they can't see. So the light of that intelligence has been destroyed. So you can't see. Although it would seem that you have some intelligence, but you can't reason any longer. Because Allah took away that light. So anyway, we're talking about this buzrug and this king. So this king has formulated an opinion about this buzrug. He's like this. So he comes to visit him on the second occasion when he comes to visit him. So the buzrug made out from his behavior now that he's got some reservation. He made out. You know, when you are talking to me, from the conduct and the way you conducting yourself, I can make out there's something in your mind, isn't it? the choice of your words, or the conduct, or the behavior. There's something in you. I can make out that there's something that's not clear. If you are, you've got an affinity with someone, right? That if there's something that is not clear, then you can make it out from his behavior. So the Buzurg made out, okay, this must have happened, right? But now for him, for the king to continue benefiting, then that reservation and doubt has to be smashed down. But as long, if you have a reservation, you have a doubt about your senior, about your Buzurg, and you can't benefit. Now, as though there's a barrier between you and him. Imagine, if you have a serious doubt about your wife, that she's playing around with someone else, right? Can you enjoy intimacy? Can't. So that doubt has to be destroyed for you to be able to enjoy. The same with the sheikh. If you have that reservation and doubt, or he's up to something this way, that way, so your line to benefit, your route, your passage to benefit has smashed down, has been broken down. You can't benefit. So that has to be corrected for the benefit to resume, to continue. So the Buzurg made it out, see the importance in between. I'm teaching you some of the lessons of tasawwuf. See, your mind must be open, your heart must be open to your senior. You can't have any reservations, you can't have any doubts about him. And when you have doubts and reservations, then your road has been all broken down. You can't progress. So if there is a doubt, then clear the doubt. But if you want to come in with doubts, not going to work. Like I say, if it's a married couple and the spouses have doubts on each other, can that be an enjoyable, can it be a prosperous and enjoyable relationship? You have a doubt, you have some discrepancies, some serious doubts, can you enjoy? Can't enjoy. So that's natural, that's psychological. When you've got a reservation, you can't enjoy. So the reservations have to be cleared for you to resume the relationship. Reservation has to be cleared up. So now, when the king came the second time, so this Buzurg says to the king, you know what? I had some inspiration. And that inspiration, what I've received, is that you're going to live just for about a month. 1 month's time, then phir tum khuda ke pyare ho jayenge. 1 month's time, you're going to go to Allah Ta'ala. Just 1 month you've got. So the king got into a panic. So now he tells the king, alright, no worry, what you do is tum apne wali ahd ko muqarrar kar do. The successor to the throne, we just appoint the successor to the throne, number one. And you may feel a little bit of weakness because of this fikr or this concern. So just to energize you, take these tablets. You know, 30 of it, each one for a day, you know, to energize you. You know. So you got an energizer and you got a successor to the throne. So no fikr now, no real fikr. Anyway, so the king took the tablets and is going. He's got his calendar marked. Hey, first, second, third, 28 days, 27 days. When Malakul Maut is coming now? 25, 24, 20, 10, 5, 4, 3. Hey, now. Hey. I'm already here, near the cupboard now. One leg is already in the cupboard. Just now I'm going to go. Now that last day, when the last day came and he passed, he didn't die, you know. I breathe. Hey, you know, what an ordeal, what a thing I went through. But anyway, the next day he went back to the Buzurg. Whatever, you know, you told me 30 days I got left. And I must take these tablets and appoint the successor to the throne, all that. I did everything. But 30 days passed and nothing happened. So the Buzurg is asking, alright, you know, I gave you these tablets to have one a day, right? Now in these 30 days, when you were administering one tablet, did you have any feeling towards your wives and the slave girls and anything? Absolutely nothing was working.
I was so consumed with the thought that nothing, my mind didn't go in that direction at all. So he says to the king, see, you slept 30 days and you were so consumed that you couldn't express your feelings, right? I have that conviction that I will not live for the next moment, next second. Then how do you expect me to have this time of peace? So really what has gone wrong with us is we're not employing our reasoning, our understanding, our reasoning. Employ correctly, it will take you to the right ends. You abuse this, you don't use this correctly. Now you wasted it. It's such a big treasure. Like I say, the reasoning is the most treacherous thing, right? Most treacherous. There are nothing more pricey than the reasoning. Right? Use his reasoning, came to Tawheed, right? Didn't use his reasoning, went to Kufr. Doesn't happen. Use your reasoning. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Again Allah says, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, people of intelligence. آيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, people of intelligence. Don't you see that? So this misuse of the greatest favor warrants the greatest punishment. And use of the greatest favor makes you deserve the greatest reward, see? The greatest favor. I gave you the greatest favor and you misused it. So now you deserve the greatest punishment. And you use it correctly, greatest reward. See that? Don't you see now? If it's a king or a ruler and he misused his power, he misused his power, he oppressed and killed and all that. So now he deserves life imprisonment or he must be killed. Don't you see that happening? Because he had the biggest power and he abused it, so he deserves the worst punishment. Right? But if that person that is in power, he used it correctly, everything right, so now he gets the best perks. The government gets, doesn't he have the best perks? Private jet, about private home, security, all that. He used it correctly, so he deserves the most. Abuse, and then he's entitled, eligible to the worst, severest. See? So, aajkal ki kamzori hai. That's the problem today. That's the weakness today what we have. Is we're not employing, not using the reasoning, understanding. Akal zara, akal ko istimal karo. Use your brain, use your understanding, reflect, understand, come to arrive to right conclusions, right? After all, you are respected on account of your intelligence, right? On account of your intelligence and reasoning, ability, you are respected, right? Imagine now, your intelligence and your reasoning ability is deleted. Any respect? Your ability to reason, understand, now is gone, wiped out. You can't understand, you can't reason, became absolutely insane. Now, are you respectable? The respect is gone, khalas, deleted, khalas. So the best of husband now, but that is gone, and now you not worth anything. They don't want you in the house, out of the house. Why? That intelligence is gone. So the intelligence is the most precious favor of Allah Ta'ala, and it requires to be serving at that level, working at that level. If it works at that level, it gets that reward. Brings you. Therefore, the reward will be so much more. Tafakkaru sa'atin, Ibn Abbas Yamas. For a few moments, you're thinking nicely, correctly. The reward can become tremendous, like 50, 60 years of ibadat. But you're thinking properly, analyzing, reasoning, understanding what I am, I have to reach the grave, what is going to be in the grave. Now, you're putting your mind in the right track. So you earn the right type of reward. Allah Baktofi Nasib Kareem.